This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Thanks again to Andy Staples who joined us in hour number one. Wes, we've talked about this when it comes to baseball. We knew before the season that Louisville was going to be really, really good. Probably the team to beat. But you know what? When we went through the laundry list of teams that we thought could threaten, there are a couple that we probably didn't mention. Teams like Pittsburgh, Notre Dame.
That is correct.
Are not only threatening, but are a great story within the league. They become great national stories. Because there are some storylines, and the ACC is giving you those. Let's go to Pittsburgh, because the Panthers are playing some serious baseball, and Mike Bell is the coach, and he joins us this morning. Coach, first of all, good morning. We appreciate you making the time with us, and man, congratulations on the amazing season to date. I know there's a huge series with Louisville coming up this weekend, but man, you guys are a national story. That's got to feel good.
Yeah, it feels really good for the program, for the players. I mean, we've got a couple guys that have been here five years with the extra year back. We've got one with a sixth year. So to see some transition over the last 3 years and to see some of the things that we've tried to preach along the way come to fruition, it's been exciting for our guys.
Mike, the building process, and I think we talked to you just after you got the job and you knew that there was – going to be some foundational pieces. You've had the opportunity to have some guys go with you on that journey. Does that make it a extra special in some respect, I guess?
There's no doubt. When you see the smiles, when you see the excitement after, you know, a series win, a series sweep, when you see the things that you've preached about and talked about that you can do, but for them to get to enjoy those moments, you know, that's why we do what we do. You know, with the student athletes, for them to experience those, but also for the younger guys to see, like, yeah, this is what he's been talking about. This is what we're developing here, and now they're seeing it happen right in front of them.
Mike, I remember talking with you when we were doing radio, and we got obviously the season was underway. And you guys had a giant snowstorm. You had the guys out there shoveling down the first base and the third base line. And I'm thinking, man alive, how in the world are you going to play baseball in Pittsburgh, especially that early in the year? And here you are. We were bragging during the break, Pack, we've had weather in the 70s, and lo and behold, today we got flurries. So what in the world's going on? I mean, again, the story is amazing that you've been able to compete at this level, given what Mother Nature gives you every now and then.
You know, Gino in Miami came in 2 weeks ago, and he reminded me 2 years ago we played in some flurries about this time of year.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he was here 2 weeks ago, and we had 70-degree weather. It was like a home game for Miami from a weather standpoint. We try to take the mindset of, hey, it's 75 and sunny. We're going to get our work done, whether we're inside, whether we're outside. We've got a game plan each and every day to develop. And, we'll take the mentality of, you know, look, we're Gritsburg. We got some gritty guys. The weather's not going to slow us down. Let's play some baseball.
Mike, before taking Pitt, you spent 7 years in Tallahassee down there with 11. How much of that has played a part in what you built at Pittsburgh?
A lot. I think a lot from playing through the program there in the mid-90s. The competitive practices, the competition within the clubhouse. And you see it with the coaches through the ACC right now. Mike Martin Jr. down at Florida State, who was a catcher, a teammate of mine. Link Jarrett at Notre Dame was a gritty, great shortstop that we had there. But what the foundation was laid there as a player through the mid-90s, going off and coaching at Tennessee and Oklahoma taught me a lot, but coming back and working with 11 for the last 7 years, each and every day you learn something. And it wasn't always X's and O's. It might have been, you know, how to handle a situation with a student athlete. It might have been how to handle something within your program. But ultimately, those days laid a foundation or a blueprint for what we're trying to do here.
Mike, I know all baseball guys, a season, I don't care if it's college, Major League Baseball, whatever, it's a grind. You don't get too high. You don't get too low. it's the next day. You want to try to make sure you don't go into crazy slumps and so forth. But, man, how are you keeping everybody calm, cool, and collected knowing what's coming up this weekend? Because this is not only a huge series within the ACC with Louisville and Pitt, but it's a huge national series. I mean, there's going to be people who followed college baseball from coast to coast that when you put down the list of, hey, what are the big games of the weekend, Louisville and Pitt, it is go time. 16 against 7 nationally. So how do you keep everybody low key and make sure that, hey, guys, it's just another series. Let's go play. Or maybe you don't. Hey, guys, this is a bigger than life deal. You tell me. What's the story?
I think more than anything, it's a game of baseball. It counts as one win or one loss. If you make it more than what it has to be, then, yeah, it can hurt you in a lot of ways. But we don't want to do anything different than what we've done all year. And if we can control what we can control, we can pitch, play defense, be opportunistic on the base pass, put together quality at bats, do the things that have got us to this point. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel as we go through this. It's about doing the things that we preach and teach each and every day. And if you do that and simplify things, I think you can put yourself in a good position. We knew from day one when the league handed us a 12-week schedule, this was not going to be an easy task. There's going to be some ups and downs through it, as you said. It's the challenge is to avoid the big drops, the big swings. You know, stay consistent as we go through this, and let's make sure we're playing our best baseball in May.
Mike, if you had to pinpoint, we talk about those guys that might have been there when you showed up that are still there. Nico Papa makes all the sense in the world as just a guy that he'll take any opportunity to get better. And, boy, it has really surfaced with the chance for him to come back and be part of your program in this extra year and all these things. How much on the field, how much off the field is his value to you?
I think you named one of them for sure, and that's Nico Papa. I mean, the value on the field, what he brings from an energy mindset each and every day, you know, his leadership qualities are more of a, hey, this is the way we do things. It's not a vocal situation. It's more he's going to lead by example. It's a sneaky run time down to first. He's a very athletic, very strong, compact young man. And honestly, I felt like 2 years ago during the regular season, we thought we were going to lose him after his junior year. He has tools, and probably, you know, with the pandemic last year, with the season being cut short, didn't get a chance to showcase those as well. He's had some big hits for us, some big moments. I think David Yanni's another one, six-year infielder for us. I think every coach in the league, you know, I think the running joke in Pittsburgh is he's the longest tenured baseball player in the city. and that's, you know, with the Pirates being so young, so. But with Yanni and Popa, they provide a lot of experience based on the way they go about their business each and every day. It's not a vocal type thing. You know, our guys push each other within their program. And more importantly, they really love playing for each other.
Mike, we've always been impressed with Heather Like. We've always enjoyed our conversations with her and her vision that, hey, we're going to be champions in every sport. At Pitt, when you took this gig, your vision of what the program can turn into, are we seeing this unfold right between our eyes here? I mean, is this, hey, are we on the fast track based on where you think you would have this thing after a year or two, or what? What's the story?
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head with Heather, her executive staff, their administration. Their vision for the quality of, you know, champions live here. Within the gold standard of Pitt athletics, that's the reason why we chose to come to Pittsburgh. You know, our visions were in a line. You know, we wanted to compete for championships. And what was the timetable? There really wasn't one set. It was more of an expectation set from day one. Everything that we do in the classroom, on the field, in the community, we're going to do it at a high standard, and we're going to do it to the best of our ability. And the one thing I've always felt like within this league, it prepares you for championships. Championships can come not only in conference championships, regionals, super regionals, or the opportunity to go to Omaha. And that's what this league provides. And if you can raise the expectations, the standards, and hold everybody accountable, good things can happen. Mm-hmm. But her executive staff, her vision, what they've done here in a short period of time. You see men's soccer, I think a number two national seed. Volleyball just got done with the Elite Eight. It's top to bottom, and it has raised the expectations throughout the whole athletic department, but for each and every sport.
All right, Mike, we're going to get to the value of the weekend series at Louisville in just a moment, but there are a couple questions I have to ask before we go. One, what kind of baseball does it take to get in the jar over your left shoulder? I'm just guessing that's not a bunch of shag balls from a BP during the week, okay? That's number one. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, well, those so we've got – some minor league ball collections. I traveled around a little bit trying to fool them, thinking I could pitch back in the day. So I've got some Carolina League, Florida State League, New York Penn League. And then I have another jar with some different leagues that I've coached in, you know, Big 12, SEC, those type of things. So, yeah, we've taken some pearls over the days.
All right, that's one. Number two, if you had to pick – now, Packer, I think Pack's on the same line with me here. If you had to pick your favorite card off the wall over your right shoulder, what does it take to, number one, be on the wall? And number two, is Mike Bell's favorite player as a kid up on that wall?
I would say yes to the favorite player. On the wall, so what I did was I collected a lot probably late 70s through the 80s and then into early 90s. So I kind of made like my all-star team here, 70s and the 80s, and then 90s, 2000s. Probably one of my favorites on there, the guy that I liked to watch play growing up was Don Mattingly. The way he played the game, I was not a power hitter at all. So I was more about on-base percentage average, some doubles here and there. And even though he had his home run streak, I think with grand slams or something through the mid-80s there. But the way that he played the game, he was always dirty. They won, you know, those type of things, the high character stuff. So, but there's some good ones up there, some guys I enjoyed watching growing up. And I think I would say that's probably like an 84 Don Russ rookie card for Don Mattingly there. So,
what's that card worth these days, Mike? Just curious.
Yeah. We can trade that. We can get a little Packer and Durham money.
I have no idea, but back in the day, I thought it was a retirement plan.
Hey, we've all made investments that we thought, this is it, big boy. Yeah. We are in the promised land. And all of a sudden you realize, guess what? We're going to be working for a few more years. That's how that works.
I don't think the Pete Rose or the Roger Clemens or the Barry Bonds worked out like I thought it was going to.
Yeah, well, I know this much. It's working out for you at Pitt, and you're doing a great job and your kids. And, again, you mentioned Heather, like we talked about. It starts at the top. We get great vision and leadership, and everybody rowing the same way. You make magic happen. You guys have been a great story, not only within the league, but from a national perspective. So keep up the great work.
Well, we appreciate it. They're a fun group to coach, and like I said, we're learning as we go. We know we've got a big task this weekend, but more importantly, we've got a big task over the next month and a half. So,
the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. We're going to head down to the ATL here in about 10 minutes or so, talk to the head football coach of your Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That'll be Jeff Collins. Got the signed helmet right behind me, right there. Looking good today.
See that. Looks good.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
not
got Josh Pastner in the welder's mask and all that. You got, sandwiched in between Lars Tiffany there. Good. I like
that's it. Mm-hmm.
Well right. done.
Talk a little baseball.
Yep, let's go around the league last night. Midweeks have always been interesting. Good to see Louisville go get the revenge game, right? In Lexington last night. They beat Kentucky 12-5. Cooper Bowman 3-for-4. Triple shy of the cycle last night for Dan McDonald, who will welcome Pittsburgh to Jim Patterson Field this weekend. Nice win for the Cards.
Jumped them early.
Always good to beat the Cats.
Yeah, well, that in-state thing What was that food you guys are eating up there?
Burgoo. Yeah.
Burgoo for everybody.
Burgoo. Yeah.
Brown water was flowing. But I tell you what, Louisville jumped them early, though. That thing was over in a hurry. Cards, like you said, get revenge. They lost at home in a tough one to the Cats earlier, but they took care of business last night or yesterday afternoon.
Clemson went all the way to the end last night at Foley Field in Athens against Georgia. Return match of the Tigers and Bulldogs. 8-7 the final. Tigers looked like they were going to be able to do something. Took a 2-run lead into the eighth. Georgia tied it and then wins it in the bottom of the ninth.
Well, they gave up a 2-run bomb in the seventh. They were up two, gave up a bomb in the seventh, gave up a run in the eighth to fall behind, tied it in the top of the ninth, and then another walk-off loss. That is now seven consecutive losses for Monty Lee's team, and they've not been great in one-run games. It's been a tough year in Tiger Town for a baseball program that always takes a great deal of pride in being in the tournament and everything else. This has been a real struggle this year for Clemson baseball.
Yep. No doubt about it. You saw on the screen, Clemson and Wake Forest this weekend, three-game set in the ACC. A little better news last night for Virginia Tech. Hokies beat VMI last night, 7-5 the final. TJ Rumfield, game-winning homer in the seventh. And you're going to get to see TJ Rumfield go to work on the hammer here in a moment because he finished with two hits, five RBIs in the win last night for the Hokies, and here is the proverbial hammer.
I'll tell you what, man.
There you go.
Virginia Tech baseball is fun to watch because they hit some shots. When you watch the Hokies play baseball, I mean, I don't know if they're going to win or lose, but I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to hit it hard. Virginia Tech's fun to watch.
It's a shame you're going to be out of town the week of the tournament, by the way.
I know that.
Just looked that up the other day.
I did, too, and I wasn't going to say anything. I was like, oh, man, that stinks.
Your accommodations. They were really going to take care of you uptown, too. I got some word yesterday in Greensboro. You were going to get first-class A-plus treatment. The ACC baseball championship.
I was planning on being there because the tournament should be tremendous, but I am going to be surrounded by water during that week. So, I hope to be back
about
for
that.
Omaha. Oh, do I know? Do I know? I wrote it.
Yeah.
Do I know that song? Yeah, I know that song. I wrote it.
All right. Let's go to the rest of the scoreboard last night in baseball involving ACC teams. Wake Forest beat Western Carolina 14-8. Georgia Tech ventured over to Panthersville, won 7-2 over Georgia State. Duke, a touchdown, the extra point, shut out Liberty 7-0. VCU beat Virginia 5-3. Coastal Carolina saw that game on ACC Network last night. Chanticleers look pretty salty. They get North Carolina 6-3 at the Bosch in Chapel Hill.
They were hitting everything in sight early in that game. And for, going back to Virginia real quick, I wonder how much of that is a hangover from the weekend. That was such a big series for the Hoos, having Louisville come to town, and they come back from the dead Friday night win with a walk-off. They lost Saturday. They lost Sunday. No excuses. You got to go play. You got to go win. But, they were playing such good baseball. I wonder how much of that Louisville series took the wind out of them a little bit. That was a big momentum series for the Hoos.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Over to softball, Virginia beat Radford, by the way, 2-1 to snap a four-game skid. Allie Rayleigh retired the first seven of the game and allowed just one run across 5 2/3. Virginia back in action. They get Liberty this afternoon on the road at 4 o'clock. That's the only ACC softball from yesterday of note. One more note from the Commonwealth, though. And, Pac, you mentioned this at the top. Yesterday, Athletics Director Whip Babcock at Virginia Tech, Dr. Sands, their president, announced a $400 million football and athletics fundraising goal. Whip Babcock saying, we must move from a challenger to a champion brand. That is a look at part of the facility renovation of Castle Coliseum. Artist rendering, of course. That looks unbelievable, by the way, for the castle. And, of course, there'll be other things tied to this, including football operations and support and things like that. $400 million is the goal at Virginia Tech in this.
Well, given the fact that my wife is a Hokie, I suspect we'll be getting a phone call.
Oh, boy.
That's how I figured that one. I want to go back to softball.
Is that the
real
way
quick.
You looked at it?
That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Wish him the best.
Yeah.
But again, I think that the on a serious note, though, for Whit Babcock and company, they get it. This is the next phase of where we're going in college athletics, and you better be leading the parade, because if you're falling behind, believe me, that uphill climb is tough. If you're not reinvesting and saying, guess what, everybody better be in, because otherwise you're going to go up against folks that were, hey, everybody is in, and that is a tough challenge, but you've got to do it. So good for them thinking big picture, and those renderings look fantastic.
Yeah.
Real quick though, with softball, I'm going to go back to softball real quick. We got a big schedule today. There's a couple of note softball wise today. Kentucky, Louisville, like I said, in the Commonwealth, and I don't care what the sport, it's a big deal. Kentucky, Louisville softball,
right?
And Clemson, South Carolina softball, first time they've ever met tonight. Just saying,
wow,
that will be a big deal. And
wow,
you know, the team with the longest winning streak in women's softball now, it got snapped yesterday. Oklahoma had won 40 in a row, and they lost in Athens last night, which means you start looking around. You know, Florida State, I think, has won 15 straight. Clemson, I think, has won a dozen in a row. Those two will not see each other during the regular season. I pointed that out the other day. Florida State and Clemson in softball, they both have lost series to Virginia Tech, who's sitting here in the three spot. So there's some good storylines in women's softball moving forward. But a couple games of note just to keep an eye on tonight in softball. Just saying. We'll talk about that tomorrow, I'm sure. Big time.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham, if you haven't heard, presented by New York Life. We go down to the ATL. It's time to talk Yellow Jacket football. We got Friday kickoff. Wes Durham with the call. Jeff Collins front and center. I don't know how many outfits we'll see, but there'll be... Oh, I knew there'd be a new brand coming up. I knew there'd be something new. There's Coach right there. Coach, what's happening? How are we doing?
Yeah. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good, man. I got the signed helmet back there front and center, the 404 brand.
I see it. I love it.
Got your name all over it. So what are we wearing? This is new? What do we got?
Always something new. So in this day and age of name, image, and likeness, we got all the players on the team call me GC5. So we've made a little GC5 logo. And then right here, this is just a little soccer-inspired Atlanta United, Georgia Tech. We've got the four national championship stars above the crest for the 404 Georgia Institute of Technology. So just trying to represent the brand, represent the city, represent the culture.
I love it.
So all right, great. We're going to go a little off track here at the top. I've been wanting to ask you about name, image, and likeness since this became a thing, and I knew you were coming on the show. Of all the guys who are probably more geared and prepared for name, image, and likeness, I can't think of anybody that has been thinking about this longer than maybe you have. So now that this has become a thing, what's the first thing in your mind about what NIL could mean to any program in the country, but especially yours?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is just the student-athlete experience, making sure that all student-athletes across college football are well-positioned for life after the game. We think being here in the city of Atlanta, all the exposure that we have nationally with our brand, with being in the city, the culture, the music, the movie, the fashion that is in and around the city, and the way we promote our brand, the way we promote our players' brand, even from when I was the head football coach at Temple, You know, we were the first school to put social media names on the back of our players' jerseys during our second year spring game, and that was a big deal. We were the first school to have a brand manager in our program. We did that at Temple. We carried it over here to Georgia Tech. We have a content team that we consider the best in college football. We do so many different mechanisms to promote our players, to give them their own content so that they can build their brand on social media. There's so many different things that we do, and it's in our DNA. We're not having to force anything now that this new rule is about to come to pass. It is who we are. It's what we're about. It's what we believe in. Building our players' brands, the student-athlete experience, life after football at one of the top four academic schools in the country. It's a special time and a special place, and we're just excited to help our guys, help our players in this space.
All right, speaking of brand, how about Friday Night Football under the lights right there in the ATL? We're going to get some this week. I can't wait to watch you guys play. We'll have to be there with the call and so forth. So what can we expect with the Jackets? I know it's not going to be, you know, crazy stuff because spring games are spring games.
Sure.
But for fans that got their feet up on a Friday night looking for some football, what are we going to see?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. We've got a lot of returning production. I think we've got the top two production in the league, top 13, top 10 in the country returning production. We had the eighth-ranked recruiting class re-ranked by Bleacher Report that played at a high level for us last season. They're all returning. The culture, all of those things. We've had a really good spring, a really good offseason with our head strength coach, Lou Corrala. We brought in 13 newcomers in January. They've made a tremendous impact in this program, and they're going to get to see a lot of time tomorrow night and or Friday night. Just really excited about that piece. It is going to be an offense versus defense kind of deal. Offense will be on the home sideline wearing the white unis, gold, white, gold. The defense is going to be on the visiting sideline wearing gold, blue, blue. So it's going to be an exciting time. Quarterbacks are in the color rush. Gold, gold, gold. But Friday night, under the lights, downtown Atlanta. A lot of places do the Saturday afternoon thing, Saturday morning thing. But I just think the best venue in college sports is downtown Atlanta, 404, under the lights. There's not a better setting. Wesley Durham, Roddy Jones making the call. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, I feel like I just saw a WWE promo. Something we were going gold, 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 blue. So what's Coach wearing? I mean, you gave me every combination. So, what are you wearing on Friday?
So I've got a plan.
I knew that.
Really good. We know you got a plan.
That's why I asked.
We know you got a plan.
I've got some custom GC5 kicks that are going to be sported Friday night. Oh. We'll reveal them at some point during the day. The coaches. I've micromanaged the coaches' outfit, so they'll be wearing the same top. They'll be wearing the same shorts, but they get to go freelance on the three-stripe life kicks that they get to wear. So we're looking for some flavor on that front as well.
I love it.
Oh, okay.
So fantastic.
All right. On the field, you mentioned, without saying, but Jeff Sims and Jahmyr Gibbs, let's be honest, in terms of young, explosive talent in this league, there may be, I don't know if there's any more anticipated sophomore duo in anybody else's team offensively than what you've got at quarterback and running back. I mean, look, there are other teams that have guys that are sophomores, but you've got a battery of guys here that showed you flashes last year. Yep. Gibbs in particular, Jeff, was sensational. Sims, you could see it coming at times. What have you seen this spring that gives you hope for the fall, I guess?
Yeah, they've both had tremendous springs through the work ethic and the offseason, all those kind of things. My favorite thing about those two individuals, they are great players. They're going to be the future of this league, the future of college football, and even the present. But they are better young men than even they are as players. Who they are when they come in the building, the work ethic, the attention to detail, being really good teammates, being really good dudes in the program, being humble, working, having respect for everybody else's contribution. So it's not just that they're great players, they're great people too. And that's the part that gets you really excited. The other true freshman that played for us last year was Jordan Williams at right tackle, 6'6", 341. I'm going to try to stay away from the WWE inflections to illustrate how much we feel about Jordan Williams. But I think he's a dynamic player on the front as well.
Coach, I know Wes went right to the offense, but you know what? For me, I said this to Wes the other day on the show, for Georgia Tech to get to the next level defensively, you're going to have to be better. Now, the good news is you've got a ton of dudes back from a year ago, but that side of the ball has to be better this fall.
And that we stressed that the entire offseason, even since we got back in January. You know, I felt at times, and I've said this publicly, I've said it to our guys, at times last season, it was a collection of corners and a collection of safeties, really good players, but they weren't playing as one entire secondary. And you could almost say the same thing with the front as well. We'd have a collection of defensive ends, a collection of defensive tackles that would, you know, make really good contributions in spurts. But we have to play as a complete defensive line, a complete secondary, and, you know, we've got a transfer, Ace Ely, that came in from the Big Ten, who's made a tremendous impact as far as a leader, his intensity, his emotion, him connecting with our team and our culture, and really excited about what he's going to bring to kind of bring both of those, the front end and the back end together, to play a really good part of being an elite defense in this league.
All right, Jeff, you mentioned Ely as one of the transfers. I want to ask you about Kyrick McGowan, because I know the grad transfer from Northwestern has already made a big impression on your football team at wide receiver. And can you lean on him to be a big piece of what you're going to do this fall?
Absolutely. He was such a big-time player at Northwestern. They played in the Big Ten championship game two of the last 3 years with him being a leader in the program. We've got a new commissioner in the ACC, Dr. Jim Phillips, and in our first conversation that he and I had together, he just raved about Kyrick McGowan, and that was even before he had arrived on campus with us, and just who he's been, his work ethic, his attention to detail, his impact in the receiver room. You know, we've got Malachi Carter, we've got Adonis Sanders returning to play at a high level, and just the energy, the focus that he brings, and the multiplicity. I mean, I turn on the Big Ten championship game. He's playing receiver. He's playing running back. He's playing outside receiver, slot receiver, punt returner, kick returner, lead blocker in their Wildcat package. He was doing so much, and he's been able to do some exciting things for us in these last 13 practices.
By the way, on a totally separate note, what was your impression of the new commissioner, Jim Phillips?
Yeah, really liked him. He's been on a bunch of the ACC head coaches Zoom calls, and just excited for his vision for our league, and just really excited about him coming in, and you know, the impact that he's going to make for football and for all sports in the ACC.
Yeah, it's certainly football is going to be a big piece of it. I guess the head coaches can sense that too, can't they?
Absolutely. He's been on there a bunch, and I had really good dialogue, really good conversations. He's going to tour. I think he's touring every ACC campus, and just excited for him to come down to Atlanta and have really good conversations so we can help build this league, just like you guys do every day for us, promoting this league at a high level. It's going to be really, really good.
Coach, there's been some good mojo in the ATL in 21. I mean, I got the Pastner mask back here. He just won an ACC championship. You know, Nell did an incredible job with the ladies. The volleyball team's been rocking and rolling. Baseball's been really good. It always is. You get a sense that you can feel. Again, you've always been a positive ball of enthusiasm. You just come into the room and, hey, let's go, boys. But it just does feel like there's a lot of good stuff happening in the ATL with Georgia Tech.
Yeah, absolutely. And a credit to Todd Stansberry and our whole athletic department, the vision, the direction, the support that we have across all levels and all sports. We had our women's basketball team out to practice yesterday, and they were awesome. They got to be there for 7-on-7. We had the Fatheads rushing the quarterback during 7-on-7. We had team blitz, and the music is blaring. And then at the end, Nell Fortner, she is amazing. She went to our 404 GoPro camera setup that we have, and she danced with Wanye and got some good stuff that I'm sure she'll share on social media. But just positive, energetic, seeing big things for our program and our future across all levels and all sports. It's an exciting time to be here at Georgia Tech.
You guys need to have more fun. Jeff, need to start having some fun. Yeah, the problem I worry about you guys down there in Atlanta is that everybody's just kind of walking around like a robot, no smiles. You guys need to loosen up a little bit down there in Atlanta. Just a little bit.
I'm with you, Pat.
hey, Jeff, Packer, I'm going to show you this because I think Meg can get a shot of this. Packer had a cutout because he's a big San Francisco Giants fan, right? So Packer had a cutout last year out in the Bay Area when the Giants played front their row home games. And in fact,
there it is.
He marginalized, so he got some front row seat next to some kid cut out. Right. Okay. I think he stole another kid's seat, but nonetheless. here's the deal. I know you got the fathead pass rushers.
Yep.
I need to see my man Packer as a pass rusher in practice
done
at Georgia Tech. Okay, good. That's all
from,
we need.
From your lips to my ears, Packer, right to the equipment room. Roddy Jones has one, Wes. Wes Durham needs to have one. Packer needs to have one.
No, he doesn't.
That will be,
no,
that
Wes
will
is
be
good
done within
Wes
the next
good
12 minutes.
Let me tell you something.
No, Wes
it's
is
not
good
a fat head. It's just fat. So, you know, I got a bad knee, and I can run the 40 in 3 days, Coach. So plan accordingly on that play.
Oh, man. All right. Always appreciate the time. Looking forward to Friday night. You look great. I hope
appreciate
your family's
it
well, and excited to see you on Friday night at 6 o'clock.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks for all y'all do.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We switch gears again, Mr. Durham, because yesterday we were talking soccer because Clemson knocked off number one Pittsburgh, and you know they've made a habit of knocking off number one teams this year.
Yeah, they have. Three times they've done it, and we visited with goalkeeper George Marks yesterday, and start our visit by saying, hey, George, of all these times you've beaten number one, which was your favorite?
Obviously, the ACC championship was a super special experience for all of us. With such a hard semester behind us, to be able to get that sort of tangible hardware at the end and show that all of our hard work paid off was fantastic. But I'd say also Wake Forest was a big-time win for us because they had our number for a few years. So to finally get that monkey off our back and win that game was big time.
George, two parts to this. One, the length of this particular season, obviously the fall piece and now coming back in the spring and getting to an NCAA tournament event that you quite honestly weren't sure in the fall you were going to have. And two, the mentality you have for that to happen and now when you get to this point. How much variance is there for you?
Yeah, it's definitely been tough, just especially with us having such a long season, starting as early as guys getting here in June to basically a full calendar year. We're approaching June again when we would usually come back to campus. So trying to keep guys' motivations high. Obviously, there's going to be ebbs and flows with that, which the coaching staff and us as older guys at the top of the team have kind of realized. So trying to create a common passion and unite us by a purpose really helps with that as people are naturally much more inclined to stay the course if they're more passionate about what we're doing and if they believe in what we're doing. So that's kind of been our goal is setting really good goals and making sure that our purpose is right throughout the team from top to bottom. Hmm.
George, you just talked about tangible hardware. So that leads us to wearing the hat. And Wes and I just talked about it now. I kind of like it. I mean, that's a good look for a goalkeeper sitting back there with a cool brim. I mean, you put that lid on, man. You're like, yeah, come on, boys. Whatever you got. So historic Riggs Field, late sun. I get it. That makes sense. But there may be more to that story. So what is the story behind the brim? I like the lid.
I will say, Riggs at sunset, Riggs Field, historic Riggs Field, does hate the goalkeeper at the home end. which I think we've been really fortunate. We've done really well on coin tosses this year. I actually pride myself on coin toss ability to make sure. You can see in that one camera angle, the sun is just absolutely bearing on you. So I always carry a hat with me just in case to see if that might be something that would benefit me. And that game, you know, I think it went with the outfit pretty well, but it also was effective for me.
I like the lid, man.
George, I like the cap too, but what about eye black? Haven't you talked to some of those football guys? The eye black thing, you could do some work with some eye black now. I mean, Mark Herzlick works on this network. You can go Google an image of him at Boston College where he looks like a pro wrestler with the eye black. I'm thinking you might need to go big, heavy eye black guy.
You're absolutely stealing my thunder right now. That was probably a next season thing, and you're just letting everybody know about my plans, so I appreciate that.
Hey, George, you know, with this name, image, and likeness coming, you know, you're going eye black with a little message right here. You got to think about marketing opportunities. Yeah, I think you're starting something with a fashion statement with the lid, number one ranked team. I mean, come on, man. You got to think big picture now. You're jumping into big time.
The opportunities are endless. You guys are right. Definitely.
Okay, let's get to the high stakes game. And you've mentioned this already in our visit here. Got to finish this off. So when you guys get on the bus, however you go to Raleigh, and all of a sudden you're in the bubble for the NCAA soccer tournament, what changes? The finality, and Mark and I've talked about it during the basketball tournament, the finality of the event is real. People don't want to think about that. But you guys have got a veteran team. You've got a program with a ton of tradition and a ton of success. How do you address the high stakes now? How does Coach Noonan address the finality and the stakes of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, definitely. I think the key for us is trying to change as little as possible because we've got a really good plan in place. We've got really good purpose, really good goals, and a really good process that we go through every day to be as successful as we have been, especially over the last 2 years. Coach Noonan does a fantastic job, and we like to think that we're preparing for every single game, whether it's in September or usually November, December when the NCAA tournament is. But in this case, in this NCAA tournament, to the absolute same level. So I think the answer to the question there would be maybe to refine what we're doing in the natural slope of the season. We obviously want to keep getting better and better every single game, but not letting the occasion get the best of us and sticking to what Clemson does, because we believe that if Clemson does what Clemson does to our standard, we're going to be successful at the end of the day.
George, we've talked to a number of goalkeepers in lacrosse, both the men's and the women's side here in the last couple of weeks, because lacrosse, much like soccer in this league, are spectacular from a national perspective. And we have found that the goalkeepers in lacrosse, granted, harder ball coming at you 8 trillion miles an hour, but goalkeepers seem to have a different mentality. Would you say that's consistent with soccer, or you guys are a different breed?
I definitely don't envy the lacrosse goalkeepers. Those balls look unforgiving. But I think there's definitely sort of the same mindset. What we talk about a lot just within our goalkeeper group and every goalkeeper group I've ever been a part of is that our job is to stop what everyone likes from happening, which is goals. So we're basically the fun sucker of the game. And that's kind of a different mentality. I try and not see it that way. It's definitely a separate group, because every single day at training, you're doing your own training session with your own coach. You're kind of separate. And a lot of times, if you're doing your job well, people are not super happy with you, especially in training, because you're kind of stopping their joy from occurring. So I personally love it. I get a great rise from it, especially just talking smack. It makes it really fun for me.
Tigers, the number one overall seed on the men's side, the ACC 1-2 nationally on the men's side and the women's side, as the NCAA soccer championships get cranked up right outside Raleigh in beautiful Cary, North Carolina next week. Should be good.
Yep. By the way, just in passing here, I was asked yesterday in my travels about the student athletes that we've had on the show. You've always said it's our favorite part of the program. There's no question about that. I guess we've been so fortunate. George Mark's just the latest of the student athletes that have joined us who've done a fantastic job. And it's real pleasure to profile these folks and have a chance to visit with them. We're going to have a couple more in the 9 o'clock hour, which is why I bring this up, Pac. And I know it may be surprising to other folks. It's been great for us to get to visit with these young people who are performing on the fields and floors of play for us in the ACC.
I've said this from day one. The thing that's so impressive, we don't know them. I mean, keep in mind, they have no idea who we are, right? And they're talking to two old dudes on television. Yeah. These are college students. These aren't professional athletes. These are college students. And if you've watched our show now for 368 versions, I am blown away of how the quality of the individuals in this league that are student athletes that, number one, are juggling sports, academics, because that matters in this league, and a pandemic. And you know what? They're getting up early with us. They're engaging. They're entertaining. They can have a conversation. Yep. They can tell a joke. They can roll with punches. They have impact on social issues. It's incredibly impressive. The product.
Yep.
I forget about wins and losses and banners. All that's icing. The cake is, are you producing quality people that are getting ready to jump into society? If you watch this show and you see the athletes that come on here, the student athletes, they are sensational. And you know what? Yep. If you keep watching next hour, you're going to see some more coming your way. And like I said, it's not like we all live in the same neighborhood and, oh, yeah, that's the neighbor's kid. No, we don't know these folks. And they come on here and they interact with us like they've known us for 20 years. They are just absolutely great. Yeah. And so all the coaches, the schools, they've really done a great job with the culture of their programs, bringing in the right type of kids that represent these great institutions.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.